Several years ago, our church shared the building with another church. When we would get done our service, they would come in and have their service. And we were a little bit different in the way we did church, but it was cool and we loved each other. And you know, after many years of that, the light went on our head and we had the brilliant idea, well, why don't we have a joint service sometime and we'll just all worship together at the same time. So we did that, and I got to do some back-to-back preaching with the pastor who was the pastor of that church at the time. And it was really cool. We picked a topic. We decided ahead of time what we were going to kind of focus on. And his focus was more that day, without going into a lot of detail, his focus more on that day was physical healing. And he was talking about, you know, healing blinded eyes and, you know, all kinds of disabilities and raising the dead and doing all this cool kind of stuff. And at that time in my life and in my ministry, I didn't quite have the same faith for physical healing that he did. And so I was a little bit more subdued. And I focused more on spiritual healing, you know, healing the inner man. And I figured that, you know, his people would probably find me somewhat boring because they were used to him. He was preaching about something a little bit more spectacular, a little bit more, you know, visible. And frankly, he was just a little bit more of a spectacular, dynamic preacher than I was. You know, on my best day, on my most intense day, I'm sort of like a summer thunderstorm, you know, that passes through. On his weakest day, he was like Hurricane Katrina, okay? I don't even know why the dude used a microphone. Honestly, I mean, he could plaster you against the back wall 5 feet up in the air for the length of the service just by the volume of air coming out of his lungs. The man was incredible. He needed no amplification. And so I figured, you know, well, after he got done, I was going to be the one to kind of bring everything down to, you know, sleepiness, and they might find what I had to say a little bit more boring. And I was frankly amazed when I began to talk about Christ's sufficiency to be able to heal the inner man and heal those wounds, those anxieties, that emotional hemorrhage that some people have, the dysfunction and the enslaving sin that brings people into bondage and depression and despair. I was actually kind of amazed at how many people were riveted to what I was saying. And how, as I looked around the room, their eyes were all focused, meeting my gaze, and how intent they were listening and laying a hold of what I had to say. And the truth of the matter is, this hits home really hard. And to embrace the possibility that Jesus really does want to and is able to heal our inner man, our outer man, as astounding as that can be, but also our inner man. I was amazed at how thirsty people were to be able to lay a hold of that truth for themselves and how much pain there really was out there. There's a lot of pain out there. I mean, on both sides of the issue, we are surrounded by a world of pain. There's a huge need around us for physical healing. You don't have to go far at all. I'm sure I could, if I asked for a show of hands, probably almost half, if not more, of the congregation gathered today would say, I have a need for physical healing in some way, whether it's just some joint pain or some back pain or some chronic condition that's been going on or some, you know, cough or runny nose or something. And it... Darlene, and we're also surrounded by a world of people in need of inner healing as well, emotional healing. We are the walking wounded, the walking dead sometimes. And many of us have lived with a nightmare that we keep locked under lock and key inside of our hearts, that we wrestle with, and we cover it up really good, and we mask it really well. But we wrestle with bitterness over huge disappointments, things that didn't turn out the way we had. We're so certain that they were going to turn out a certain way, and they didn't turn out that way. Wounds that people have inflicted upon us that we are angry about, ways that they have not met our expectations. And that anger just grows and grows and festers and just gets embroiled. a world of people who are crushed by a spirit of rejection. And all the baggage that comes with that, the isolation that comes with that, the lack of confidence, the lack of hope, the fear, and sometimes even the things they do the opposite way to try to compensate for that by going, you know, really overboard and just living a crazy, insane life and acting out in all different kinds of way. Depression, crushing depression that where people aren't even able to get out of bed and call into work just because they can't even face the thought of walking through the day. Face the thought of living with themselves. They sleep because they can't even live with themselves because that depression is so crushing and so haunting. Addictions, drug and alcohol addictions that enslave people. You know, it's funny how Satan says, well, if you follow me, he doesn't actually say you'll follow me. If you follow yourself, he never invites you to follow him. He invites you to follow yourself. He says it will set you free. You can do whatever you want. Whereas Jesus says, come and serve me. And yet, where Satan promises that you can do whatever you want, you find yourself enslaved to the very things that your heart pursues. And instead of finding freedom, you find crushing bondage. And yet, when you surrender to Christ and say, Lord, here I am, use me, let me serve you, He gives you the most liberating, exhilarating freedom, true freedom of the body and soul and spirit that a man can ever experience in this lifetime. And people are enslaved to various addictions, sexual addictions, relationship addictions, approval addictions, spending addictions, drug and alcohol addictions, that's destroying their life and destroying the lives of the ones they love all around them. Eating disorders, whether it's the starvation of anorexia or the binging of bulimia or any type of even food addictions. Self-mutilation, self-hatred, self-loathing, heart wounds. I could go on and on and on. We are filled. And I'm definitely not going to ask for a show of hands, but if any of those things touched any of our lives today, I wouldn't be surprised if nearly every person in this room today could raise their hand and say, my life has been touched. My life has been there in those very things. And I have been in a place or even am in a place where I desperately need my inner man to be healed because frankly I'm a mess inside. That's where I came from. When I was 14, I can remember crying out to God. There was a party going on at our house and there was all kinds of carrying on and loud music and carrying on out in the living room. And I was in the bedroom just bleeding out from my heart saying, God, I don't understand how I got to where I be and I desperately need to know, are you really there? And if so, how can I find the peace? Because I would do anything in this. I would do anything to find peace right now. I was a tormented person. And I am beyond grateful for the peace that God has flooded my life with. I can't even begin to put a price on that. And yet, physical healing too. What's it like to live with Crohn's disease, where you're doubled over in pain for 20 hours at a stretch? Can't even uncurl yourself from the ball in the corner of the room somewhere. What's it like to face a deadly cancer where they say, I'm sorry, you might as well just call hospice and get your affairs in order. And that sickness just begins to little by little take over your life until it's consumed you. What's it like to live with disabilities, confined to a wheelchair, spinal injuries, blindness? The list goes on and on and on and on. I know my wife, who we are standing in faith, that, and God has made some progress, and we're standing in faith that He's going to take it all the way. Years of battling lupus and fibromyalgia and waking up in the morning and not even being able to roll enough to get out of the bed because the pain was so excruciating over her whole body. Not wanting to, you know, having 13 different prescriptions to try to deal with these things and not wanting to just add another on another on another in the hopelessness and despair that starts to engender. Aren't you glad to game today? Okay, well, let's dismiss. Have a nice day. let me ask you a question. You know, as we look at these things, these weighty things, and don't respond. Please don't respond right away, because I know when I ask this thing, if I pulled the cork, you guys, I wouldn't have to preach another word. You'd be here for 45 minutes just giving, you know, giving input on this. So just think about your response for a moment. I want to ask you a question, and we've got it up on the screen. In your opinion, which is more miraculous? Physical healing or inner healing? Physical healing or inner healing? Which is more miraculous? Think about it for a moment. Think about the different things we just talked about. To be able to be delivered from all of those different things. Which is really more miraculous? Let me ask you this. Would your answer, whatever answer you come up with, would it be different if I maybe put a little boundaries on it? If I said, which is more miraculous? Healing a terminal disease like cancer, stage 5 cancer, or being able to give up a cigarette addiction? Which is more miraculous? Would your answer be different? It's one of those things that makes you go, All right, let me change it one more time. Let's say, just to make it a little bit more concrete and a little more abstract at the same time, let's say I gave you 4 options. Which is more miraculous, physical healing or inner healing? And let's say we gave these 4 options, A, B, C, or D. Wow, the anointing is growing. I can feel it. Next time, behind my back. Okay, which is more miraculous, physical healing or inner healing? A, physical healing, B, inner healing, C, both can be equally miraculous, or D, Pastor, can you speak a little softer? I can't hear my iPod. This is my favorite song. This is the good part. Okay, how many people would say A, physical healing? Okay, large majority. How many people would say B, inner healing? 1 or 2, couple. How many would say C, both can be equally miraculous? 1 or 2. Rest of you lying in church, man. What's that, Dennis? How many people would say, Pastor, can you speak a little softer? I can't hear my iPod. Fred, what? Wow. It's an interesting question. I mean, if you kind of just extrapolate it out, if you think about the non-miraculous stuff, if you just think about the medical profession, when you go to your doctors, doctors are able to heal physical ailments pretty quickly. I mean, they can, a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times, they give you a prescription, you go home, fill it, take it, you're done. Next day, you're feeling great. You're up and around.